Sorry, Phil. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, all the way to the back. And we will be looking there tonight. I'll start with a word of prayer. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the night. We put aside this time and just ask, as we have done many a times in our life on a Sunday evening, to just reflect upon you, allow your Spirit to do his work in our heart and life. Let us see our Saviour and all that he deserves tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we turn to the book of Revelation, we meet the apostle and disciple of Jesus named John. And we know of John in many respects when it comes to the gospel as a young, enthusiastic man who saw Jesus do a lot of wonderful things and great miracles, and how he certainly preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the times of Jesus, and then particularly those few years or the years that we have recorded after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, by the time we get to the book of Revelation, we discover John as an old man. And because of his preaching of the Word of God and because of his testimony of the Lord Jesus, he was sent to the island of Patmos. And what a beautiful testimony that he who was a young man meets Jesus, and then we meet up with him as an old man, and he's still witnessing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's willing to be persecuted for that. A lot of people would have petered out by now, but certainly not the Apostle John. And he's there on Patmos, and Patmos at that time was a rocky, dry place with not much going on apart from hard work and very little comfort. But unbeknownst to John, this rocky place was going to become a wonderful place of blessing. And I do think it's worth pointing out that when we are in the will of God, sometimes we might find ourselves in places that seem dry, hard and rocky, and you wonder what good could come from me being here as I seek to do what God wants. And in that moment, God just sends along a little blessing for us. Sometimes we miss it even when we are in those places. But this was something that John was not going to miss. But be assured that in this very dry, hard place, John was about to receive a wonderful blessing. And we read of this in chapter 1, and I'd like to read, first of all, from verses 9 to 17. Let's have a Bible reading, basically, and read what John saw. We have recorded in verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." So what did John see in this very dry, barren place? He saw Jesus. Not just did he see Jesus, he saw Jesus in all of his glory, or as much as glory as he could handle. John had seen Jesus many times before as a young man. He had heard him speak, listened to him heal the sick and raise the dead. He had listened to him, talked with him. He saw him die. He saw him buried. He saw him raise again. He saw him go up into heaven. But now many years have passed, and now he sees his friend as he had never seen him before. Unless maybe on that mountain when he was transformed, he saw him in certainly some ways, like what he saw now, but now he saw him in some magnificent glory. And so that was a blessing in itself, getting to see Jesus. And I do believe that when we go through trials and troubles, they are generally the times if we're looking, we'll get to see Jesus more than ever before. We'll see him in ways that wouldn't see him normally. And that was the case with John. But things got even better for John because he was invited up into heaven to see some amazing things. And we can only imagine what that would be like. Imagine if Jesus appeared tonight, said, I'm going to give you this all a treat. You're all going to heaven with me tonight for a little visit. And we go up into heaven and we see what John saw. Imagine how that would blow our mind. I suspect tomorrow we would live very differently. I suspect we would witness far more and far more boldly if that had happened. We would sin less. When we hear about death, it would be something we long for rather than happy to put off. And this happened to John, and he saw some incredible things. Turn over to chapter 4, would you? It says there in verses 1 to 4 this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up thither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And so what did Jesus first see? The throne of the Savior and that rainbow circling that throne. That enough is amazing. Verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So he saw these 24 elders, which is a story for another time. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And so he saw these 4 beasts. When we think of beasts, we often think of a terrible thing, what a beast. But this is in regards to a created being, some magnificent being when we talk about a beast. Then we're told, if you turn over to chapter 5, verse 11, some other things he saw around this throne. Chapter 5, verse 11, and behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them, that's referring to the angels, was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And so what John saw when he saw that magnificent throne in heaven with that rainbow circling about it, with the beasts and the elders, he saw millions upon millions of angels standing there before the throne. And what were they all doing? Well, as we'll see, they were worshipping the Lamb. They were worshipping Jesus. All the angels, all the beasts, the elders all worshipped Jesus. I think it is very sad when these mighty beings happily fell before the throne of Jesus and worshipped him and did it with pleasure. Yet pitiful little human beings like us find it very hard to fall before his throne and worship him at any time. But what I would like to bring to your attention tonight is what these angels were saying. Because it says there in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All the angels said to Jesus that he is worthy of these seven things. There were seven things that the Lamb deserved to enjoy. And I'd like us to understand today that Jesus is worthy to receive these seven things from us as well, a part of his creation, where we admit that these things belong to Jesus and we ought to be giving them to him as well. And so tonight what I would like to do is briefly look at the seven things that we have mentioned here and ask you, as I have had to ask myself, firstly, do you believe Jesus deserves to receive these things? But then secondly, does he receive them from you? Keep that in mind. Does he deserve it? But does he get it from you? Let's have a look at them. It says, they saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Jesus deserves to receive power. Now, we could use this, explain this word as meaning control, the authority, the power, the control over everyone. He deserves to have all power over heaven. He deserves to have all control over heaven. He deserves to have all power and control over the earth as well, which means he deserves to have all power and control over you and over me. Yet we hear many say, this is my life and I'll do with it what I like. And they don't think that Jesus is worthy to receive all power or authority over them. But what Jesus does deserve, and the angels declare this, that each one of us should be saying, Lord Jesus, you made me, you died for me, you rose again, and you are seated at the right hand of your throne in glory, worshipped by angels and beasts and elders, and you have saved my wretched soul. You own me. You have all power, all control over me. I will do what you want. And we take ourselves off the throne thinking that we deserve to have some control over our life. And we allow Jesus to have that seat of authority where he deserves to have all control. Have you ever done that? I can remember when I did that as a 19-year-old, the first time I ever did it in my life. Up until that time, the Lord just had to fit into my life and fit into my schedule and work around me and just do whatever makes me happy, or I wasn't too interested, until I got to that point where I realized he deserves all power and control over me. And I submitted to him and his will. You have control, Lord. And I wish that once-off prayer, which is a good start, was enough, but that's something that we need to do on a daily basis, really. Paul said, I die daily to myself. Question is, who has the power or the control over your life? Who controls your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your body, your mind, your choices? I know Jesus has heard from millions of angels that he deserves all power. But has the King of Heaven heard it from you? Even from you, Jesus, you deserve all control and power over me. Well, he does. Question is, will you admit it to him? That's the first thing. Also, Jesus is worthy to receive all riches, it says. Now, that's an interesting one, because even though the Lord Jesus, the fact is, everything that is of value to us, Jesus made. Not only that, there is nothing that we can give that Jesus really needs. We can't give him $10 million and say, I have given to you more than you deserve. We can't say, I have given you more of my time that you deserve. Everything of value to us, we get it from him, and He doesn't need really anything from us. The two things I think we find as rich and most valuable to us is our time and our money, isn't it? And that's why people have the hardest thing of giving Him their time to serve Him. No, I haven't got time to serve you. I have other things to do. When it comes to my money, I'll give you the 10% maybe, but that's about it. We struggle to allow God to have all riches. Could you honestly stand in amongst all the angels and say with all honesty and proclaim, Jesus, you deserve all riches. You deserve all my riches. Anything that is rich and valuable to me, you deserve to have it. Well, He does. We often struggle to give it to Him. I'll tell you, one day we'll be with the angels and we'll see that. We'll see that throne and we will have no doubt He deserves it all. But it's what we do now that really counts. Thirdly, Jesus is worthy to receive all wisdom. Now, I'm sure you understand that we can't give Jesus wisdom. There is no piece of advice that we can give Jesus to help Him out. But there is one thing that we can give Him, and that is the recognition that He does know everything. That you deserve all wisdom. Far too often we won't acknowledge that Jesus is wiser than us and He knows what's best. And it is very easily seen for when we see something in God's Word that's contrary to the way that we think something should be done, we doubt Him. Are you sure? And we even struggle to put that into practice. Or we would rather remain ignorant and we never pray that God will show us what His ways are because we think we know better. And the question I'd like to put to you is, by the way that you seek God's Word for the answers, for the decisions that need to be made in your life, and by the way you respond when they are revealed to you, does it line up with what the angels are saying, that Jesus receives all wisdom from you? You acknowledge that He knows best. It is those who acknowledge He knows best and give Him that honor are the ones that are going to enjoy that guidance from Him. Number four. It's only brief. I think I could tell you now, it is a shorter message because I wasn't sure how long my knee would hold up. So I made it purposely short. So I wasn't going to say that at the beginning just in case it didn't end up being short. Here we go. Number four, Jesus is worthy to receive all strength. That is ability or might. Now, once again, we can't give Jesus strength. He's the one who is all powerful. We are the ones that are far from powerful. But what we can do, like wisdom, is acknowledge that He is the one who has all the power or all the strength. The angels knew it. That's why they declared it. Even the devils knew it. They knew He had all strength. You know, when Jesus met that man with the legions of devils within Him, the devils didn't think, I think we have enough power here and strength to overcome Jesus. We can take Him on. No, even a legions of devils understood that they were no match for the Lord Jesus Christ, and hence they ran and they fell before His feet and begged Him not to torment them before the time. They knew that they had met the King of Heaven, the great and mighty one. And He is the one that deserves all that recognition. You are the all-powerful one. You are the one I ought to be trusting. Having said that, have you ever stopped to think how we can show that? How in your everyday life can you show that you believe that Jesus has all strength? He's the all-powerful one. He's the one that I need to acknowledge. I was thinking about this, and I guess it could be seen in a lot of ways. I know we often sing about how mighty He is, and we talk about how mighty He is, but the fact is, the best way to show that we believe it is to live like it, and that shows where we don't fear and doubt him, but instead we trust him and obey him. And I think that's the key. When I know I have an all-powerful God who has all wisdom and knowledge, and he wants me to do something, I can trust him to do it, knowing that he has all strength. Is there something that he is asking you to do? He is calling you to do. And the thing that is stopping you from doing it is, I don't know if I trust him, that he can do it. And so you're reluctant. You know, many years ago, I was doing a message at One Way about how we can trust Jesus and how we can grow in our trust. And the plan was that I was going to get Robert to come and stand on this table and fall back, and I would catch him to show that he would trust me. And I was only thinking about that this week. If my memory serves me correct, he was little. All right, he was little. And I said to him, hey, I need to do something in the message, and I need you to go up and stand on the table, and when I say, just fall back, and I will catch you, all right? I promise. And that's all I had to say to him. And so I said, okay, so Robert, come up here, and I'll show everyone how we need to trust God. And he stood there, and I said, okay, Robert, close your eyes and fall back, and I catch you. And whoop, he did it straight back, from what I can remember. And I hope it was true. Now, the reality is, here is a son trusting his father. And he was willing to do it. I know that he wouldn't do it now. All right. It would not be worth it. But I remember a number of years later, I did the same message. But Robert had grown up, and I knew that my strength was not there anymore, and so I got someone else. And if I remember correctly, it was John O'Lacey. And I asked John O to come up, but there was not the same trust. He stood there. I think I got someone else, and then they hopped back down. They weren't willing to do it. They were too scared. I'm not trusting you. It's all right. And then Jono finally, and it took a long time, but he eventually fell back and let me do it. But there was not the same trust as my son had. The good news is I got Jono to do it again. And then I got him to do it again. And it got to the point where Jono had just got up there and fell back. He learnt to trust me. Realize I was strong enough and I could be trusted to catch him. And that's how it goes with our faith and trust in the Lord. One, we should have a clear understanding of who he is, and when we are convinced he loves us and he's strong enough, when he asks us to do something, we do it without even arguing about it. Hence, like Robert. But then also, as we do it, we discover that he's faithful. When he asks us to do something else, we do it. And we still might be a little bit reluctant, but we do it and we see he's faithful. And if you grow, as I talked about this morning, and if you trust him like that when you're young, by the time you're an older person and he asks you to do something, you say, yeah, sure, because I have proven him to be trustworthy. He deserves to have all strength or might given to him. He is worthy of that. And that's what the angel said. Boy, they knew how strong he was, and they declared it. He's also worthy of honor. You know, we're told to honor our parents. How do we honor our parents? Well, in many ways, but we certainly respect them, we obey them, we listen to their advice, we consider their feelings, we certainly don't do anything that would bring shame to them. Now, that certainly when we're younger. And Jesus is worthy of more honor than anybody else. If there is someone that we should respect, someone we should obey, someone that we should listen to and certainly not want to do anything that dishonors him, it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes there are things where it might bring dishonor to my Savior, hence I refuse to do it. I honor Jesus. All honor he is worthy of. Also, Jesus deserves all glory. That is praise. And often we can praise other people and point out their great things, especially those in the sporting arena. But how often do we speak of Jesus, talking about him in a praiseworthy manner of what he has done, what he can do, what he is doing, how great he is? How often do we actually praise him? The angels in heaven have no problem. But then lastly, he is worthy of all blessing. This is very similar to glory, I believe. Blessing means adoration, fine speaking. Jesus deserves to be well spoken about. He doesn't deserve to hear us complaining, whinging about how life is unfair, how we deserve more, how God has let us down. That is not one of someone that we ought to be worshiping. He deserves adoration and praise. The commentator Barnes says, to bless God or to ascribe blessing to him is that state where the heart is full of love and gratitude. And when John saw the angels in heaven, the millions of angels standing before the throne, proclaiming Jesus deserving all blessing, they were saying it with a heart full of gratitude. Jesus, you deserve all blessing. And the interesting thing is, these weren't even redeemed beings. They hadn't fallen and sinned and become the enemy, and Jesus the Lamb had to come and die for them and redeem them back to himself. We're the ones that happened. If there is anyone that ought to be before God's throne rejoicing and saying that you deserve all blessing, it's us, the redeemed. Yet the angels in heaven do it. So as I finish, can I ask you, through your life, is Jesus receiving all power? He's in control. Is he receiving all riches? Whatever he wants of yours, he has. Is he receiving all wisdom where you acknowledge he is the one who knows best? He has all strength, and it is seen by the way that you trust him. He receives all honor, glory and blessing. The Lamb is worthy of our worship. And if we're not convinced of it now, there will be a day when we stand before that throne and acknowledge he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we serve a risen Saviour. He's alive today. He's seated upon that throne in heaven that John saw. And we believe that his testimony is true and right, and we can trust in it. He is there that very moment being worshipped by the elders, the beasts, and the angels. Maybe the redeemed in heaven this very moment as well, some of our loved ones. And Lord, I pray that we would do the same here on earth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.